down. Yeah. If you're trying to can sit down. Everyone can sit down. Uh-oh. There's a problem outside with monkey. This is a particularly nice place to come if you come to Radhakund, to come and sit here for some time. The Baba who lives here is also very, very nice. He's generally you find in a lot of places you're not quite sure if the people who are doing the worship there are very, very serious about their worship, like we saw sometimes in Jagannath Puri, how things were not maintained well. But this particular place is extremely well maintained. And the Babaji who lives here, he's got a kind of a mood about him that it's like, it's really like Krishnadas Kaviraj lives in there. And interestingly enough, many years back now, and when I first came to Vrindavan, this place was not like this. It was a very old, run-down building, and there was a man living here taking care, but it was really, really run-down and old, and also quite sort of like smelly, really dirty. You'd come in, this area here was all kind of falling apart and filthy, and in there he was living in there. And you just would come here and think, this is really a horrible place. And so at one particular point, somehow by Krishna's arrangement, because I was doing so much making little boxes, and made these little boxes of members of Vrindavan boxes, and we collected a lot of money from doing that, which we were warned in the very beginning, none of this money should be used for anything of your own personal self. All the money that you collect should go back into doing some seva in Vrindavan, which we also wanted to do. And then one a friend of my husband's came along who lived out here at Radhakund at the time. And he asked, he said, I have been looking at this Bhajan Kutir Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and it's so run down and old, and I would really, really like to renovate it. Would you be interested in helping? So we came out here, my husband and I, and we met the person who's in charge of manages everything, all the buildings around Radhakund and Shamakund. And they're not really favorable to devotees in ISKCON. In fact, they're quite the opposite, because their line is different and they have disagreements, principally towards the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he spoke so many strong words against different points that we disagree on, that they don't think very highly of devotees from ISKCON. So we wouldn't have been able to do it by ourselves. They would never actually have allowed us to take it on. But because he was a resident here, we talked about it and discussed it, and they agreed. And so we oversaw it for quite some months that it took to actually do the work. And then at that time, we were worried, because the old man who was living here before, it was his house. That was how he thought of it, as my house. And so we were tactfully trying to suggest that we didn't think he was the right person. Once it was all new, now it's looking a little old, but it was looking all new and highly fixed up and everything. But it wasn't such a good idea that he should live in there again. So then when this discussion took place, then the person in charge of all the different places agreed that somebody should live here who's very qualified. A really responsible person should live here now, because this was the first place in Radhakund to be renovated. Now others have been renovated as well. And so they chose this particular Babaji, and he's extremely dedicated, extremely self-disciplined, and extremely humble, actually. But the thing that I noticed was the idea was that these two doors would both be open, and in there would be a little altar for Krishnadas Kaviraj, which is over there with the shalagrams. And devotees could come in and go in there and have kirtan in there. And so everything was agreed upon. And then the next time I came here, which was after some time, I saw there was a bed in there. So I got all upset and said, what is this? And the door was closed and they wouldn't let us go in there. And there were blankets all over the floor and it was all... And so I was thinking, oh no, because we made a little room here especially so that somebody who stayed here could stay there and they wouldn't stay here. And then I came in and I was saying something to him. He was going, no, this is Kaviraj Goswami's bed. And then he wanted other things. He wanted a heater in there, and I'm thinking, well, why a heater? No, it's Kaviraj Goswami's heater. And as you see, the picture in the winter time has just this little circle. See, only, huh? Yeah, it's just got the circle. You'll have it when you have a look, and there's only the head, and all the rest is covered by cloth, because it's winter, it's cold. So everything he does in that mood, in his worship, that he's taking care of Krishnadas Kaviraj. And sometimes I've come here and he asks for milk. So I'm always a little bit, why, you know? And then he says, you know, we want to do some sort of a sapta with Chaitanya Chaitamrita, and we want to have sweet rice or something like that. So I keep my distance from the functions, spiritual functions that take place here, because I know there is some differences in our ideology, you could say. But his service is so sincere. His service is so sincere that it's very natural to want to assist him in it because of his mood. So when I come here maybe once or twice after a few years, and always I see he's here working very hard, from morning till night practically. It's his life. Yeah. Yeah, not a dhoti, it's a chadar. It's cold. It's cold here, and it's very, very cold, and you get very, very sick here. You know, like Krishnalila's coughing, and we're in a normal house. But here, you've got the water right there, and Ambika. So, it's very cold here, and very uncomfortable to live here. So he's very exceptional. And I like to kind of come here and just observe him, because you can see in his whole demeanor he's so self-controlled, and daily, day after day after day, he does his service, but he gets so much relish from that. That's Krishnadas Kaviraj's room, and Krishnadas Kaviraj is living in there, and he cooks for him, and he does all the cooking and everything and the worship and so forth. And there's such a vitality to his presence, because of the personal nature of the depth of which he feels that he's serving Krishnadas Kaviraj. So it was like a complete transformation again. So I think to myself this is encouraging, because this place was run down and not well maintained. And then somehow or other, by Srimati Radharani's arrangement, it turned around. So also the same can happen anywhere. It just waits the right person to come who would be very happy to lovingly serve the personality who is being worshipped there. So it's nice. Unfortunately, I didn't come very well prepared today, but there's a very nice song Narottam Das Thakur wrote about Krishnadas Kaviraj, where he says, he calls him Krishnadas Kaviraj Rasika Bhakta Maj. He speaks about he's the topmost Rasika. Rasika means somebody who can taste the rasa, or the taste, the mellows of bhakti, not just understands intellectually some subject, but they can taste it, they feel it, they actually enjoy the flavor of it. So he describes how he's the topmost rasika bhakta, taster of mellows, because he has written very nicely about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He's also written so nicely about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And he says that when the stones hear his writings, his Gaura Govinda Leela, then the stones cry because of the beauty of his poetic presentation. So this is the sentiment of Narottam Das Thakur, who himself is very poetic and very devotional. So unfortunately, again, we don't have any Chaitanya Chaitamrita to relish here, which would have been very nice. We'll have to come back again next year. Well prepared. Tomorrow. And here. But it's our immense good fortune to come to Radhakund and Shyamakund and to sit in these different places. We don't know how much benefit it does to us just to be able to be here. We can't comprehend, because it's on a different plane. It's not on the plane of our thinking and feeling and willing. It's on the plane of our soul. So we carry it with us, unawares, unconsciously. So here is the bhajan kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was living by Shamakund, out just sitting there, just meditating on Krishna, chanting, and bhajan. Bhajan and kirtan or japa go together. Where our line isn't interested in sitting in silent meditation on Krishna, our meditation comes through our chanting. So Raghunath Das Goswami used to sit here and chant. And Sanatan Goswami came here and Rupa Goswami, and they said to him, "You're sitting here, this is jungle here. Why don't you, no houses, nothing. Why don't you build, we can build some small little thatched place for you." But he was mindless of his body and mindless of the inconveniences of the weather and so forth. And so then they came one time and the Goswamis saw that it was so hot, and Raghunath Das Goswami is chanting japa. They could see with their transcendental eyes that Srimati Radharani was holding out her, like an apron, over his head to protect him from the heat. And she was perspiring, and he was sitting there like that. And so they told him, "You must build a kutir." Previous to that, they'd seen lions and tigers come here to drink the water, and they told him, "You must build a kutir," and he didn't listen. But when Radharani was serving him, this was the worst possible thing that could happen. To take service from Krishna is not what the Goswamis ever wanted. They were there to give service to Krishna, not to take. So they told him, and then they built a little kutir here, and he lived here. And also on the other side of this building is the bhajan kutir of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who were speaking about how he adds so many transcendental details, fascinating little details to the pastimes in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, again from his own transcendental meditation, that he can see, a pure transcendentalist can see these things. And so when they speak them, it's not as if they're imagining or saying. He will say, "He might have said," but he's not saying "might have" like I would say, "Oh, he might have said this, he might have said that," but with absolutely no actual transcendental insight. But these personalities can see the pastimes taking place. So their comments are so valuable to us, because through those comments, they help us to feel the reality of Krishna consciousness and the reality of Krishna, in fact. And without that, how can we really make any big steps forward? Because it just becomes like too hard. But if we have that faith in Krishna, then it becomes possible. So that's here and here. Then if we go out the same way, Radharaman takes us out the same way, there's a teen samadhi there. We're coming in, blue building with a little pink decoration on it. That's the samadhi of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, who all left on the same day in different years. So at that time, fearing the Muslims would come if it was a full body samadhi, the Muslims were so disrespectful of Vaishnava principles, they may dig up the earth or do something horrible. Their bodies were cremated and placed in samadhi here, these three teen Goswami samadhi. And also some of the ashes were taken over to where we were before, where we saw the samadhi of Raghunath Das in the Radha Gopinath courtyard. So we can go back there and we can go in there. And again, even though it may not be our habit to pray for mercy, being Westerners and sometimes being male, we don't necessarily pray for mercy, we just sort of do, live life. But when we come to these places, it's a very good habit. It's an excellent habit to go into these places and pray for mercy, either praying for mercy in the form of something that we see we need in our devotional growth and advancement, or just in a general way praying that these personalities may look favorably upon us, because by their blessings, spiritual life becomes much more fruitful more quickly. I think that's... And then just here, where we're going past the bushes, just outside, we'll go past again, there's some people, not people, I've forgotten the name of that tree. Anyway, just there. That that area there is where it's called Manasupavan Ghat, and it's also in the writings of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that every day at 12 o'clock Srimati Radharani takes her bath there. I remember one time it was quite funny. I came here with, I don't know if I met up with him or anyway, I ended up sitting down there with Dinabandhu and a group of devotees. And this really happened. Now I think, did it happen? But actually it did. Well, no, he told me it happened. I wasn't there. He told me that he came there with a group of devotees and they sat there and they said, it's nearly 12 o'clock. It's 12 o'clock in a few minutes. So let's all sit here and we'll wait here until 12 o'clock and we'll get Radharani's darshan. And he said, they all sat there and they all went to sleep. And he said, and then when they looked at their watches, it was just a little after 12. They all just nodded off. So, of course, we wouldn't be getting Radharani's darshan with these eyes. But he was just being playful and she was responding. Saying, oh, you want my darshan? It's not so easy. Have a nap instead. So we're all sleeping and a double sleep. So when we go past there, we can know that's where Radharani comes with her girlfriends. I think this is Mother Mangal's garden. So, and she bathes there, and then they have sporting pastimes at Radha Kunda Shyamakunda every day. In the spiritual world, every day. The day of Krishna, Radha and Krishna is divided into 8 sections. And every day in the midday section, she comes here and she takes her bath. They take bath and sport and Krishna teases her and she jokes in exchange. So this is
garden.
No, this is Vishakha's garden is of course unlimitedly expanded. Vishakha's garden is right there. This is, I think, Mata Mangal. There are 8 cowherd boys around Shyamakunda and 8 gopis around Radhakunda. So and then they wander through these different gardens. In one garden they play dice. One garden, Champakalata, has a garden in which everything is yellow and golden. And the ground is made of golden stones. And the flowers are golden and the aura of the garden is golden. And everything is so golden that sometimes Srimati Radharani will go there wearing a golden dress and she becomes actually invisible and Krishna can't see her and he comes searching for her but he can't find her. And sometimes Krishna, similarly, he puts golden cosmetic on his face and he disguises himself in golden dress and comes here and he can then, from here, he can hear all the things they're talking about. He's listening because they can't recognize him. And one is moon-colored. Everything is white. And there on Purnima, Radha and Krishna go and they enjoy pastimes in this white garden. And one garden is completely blue. And sometimes it's said that Mukhara, that's Radharani's grandmother, comes looking. One of the opposite group of gopis will say to Mukhara, you know, I saw that Krishna in the gardens near Radhakund. You should go and catch. So Mukhara will come there. And Krishna and Radha will be standing next to each other, but Krishna's blue complexion will blend into the blueness of the garden. And Mukhara's a little short-sighted anyway, so she can't see. So there's all these different fun-filled transcendental pastimes take place around Radhakund. So the differences between ourselves now and ourselves in a purified state is that now we think, oh, that'd be fun, I'd really enjoy that. And in a purified state, one gains one's fun, one's pleasure, from seeing Radha and Krishna deriving satisfaction. This is a purified consciousness. And then one gets hundreds and hundreds and inconceivably more happiness from seeing their happiness. This is spiritual consciousness. Material consciousness is that my senses should be satisfied and I get happiness. So we don't have that commodity at this time, but we should understand this is what qualifies us for the type of pleasure that awaits one who becomes a serious transcendentalist. So now maybe we can go back and go around the 10 samadhis and then take water from Radhakund and Shyamakund and then we'll see how the time is going from there.